Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
And?
Oh, yes. And we have Stephanie Kruger.
Hi
there. Hey, guys.
After all those beautiful, wonderful comments, we got her on.
Well, actually, the real story is, like, I'm just too long-winded. So, you're like, oh my god.
David.
You will blend right well in with this bunch.
But we today are going to cover Apollo 18 and Carl's escapades at Dragon Con. All right. Now, Carl has not seen Apollo 18 because I sent him a text begging him to abort the mission to see it because I thought it.
So frankly, I'm here against my will. I just want to go on the record. I haven't seen the movie. I hadn't planned on seeing the movie. And yet I am still being pulled into the vortex that is Apollo 18. But I'm here.
Oh my God. I don't know. We did not see the same movie because I liked it.
For shock and shame.
Get you onto my side.
Okay, well, let me start off saying I went into the movie. I really didn't know anything about it except for it was going to be in space. It was going to be the 18th Apollo mission, and something went wrong. And I knew it was going to be kind of a Blair Witch style of a shooting with something scary. So we went into it. The first scene I saw was a guy from Sanctuary, Sci-Fi Channel's TV show Sanctuary. Now, when I saw him, I was like, oh, this is going to be a low-budget movie.
Okay.
And so I like Sanctuary. I like Sanctuary. Don't get me wrong. I love the show. But seeing him, I was like, oh, okay. So this, you know, we're not. Then the second.
Who is that guy? Like, tell me which one. I'm sorry. I don't watch Sanctuary.
Sanctuary, he's a werewolf on Sanctuary. He was the one that wasn't in the two guys in the
he was the one
by himself, on the
orbiter. Okay, I get it.
From Sanctuary. And then to back it up, Carl, is that you?
I'm sorry. Keep going. Don't pay no attention. I'm ignoring that. They have nothing to say to me.
Okay. So, and the second guy that made an appearance was a guy from Alphas, and that's another Sci-Fi Channel show. Two guys.
I know none of these guys. So I actually didn't recognize anybody in the movie at all.
Okay, so I recognize those two guys straight off. They're both Sci-Fi Channel actors. And so I was like, oh my God, how did we get two Sci-Fi Channel actors in this movie? What am I watching? So I think
the Canadian dollar is strong or something, and like they decided to make a movie instead of a sci-fi movie. Yes. Instead of a Sci-Fi Channel movie.
Yeah, so I think it was like a step above a Sci-Fi Channel movie. And so
man, that hurts. So
I don't
hard.
Know. Sorry. This thing, they spent too much time in let me back up. The set, the costuming was beautiful. It was spot on. You can see. I mean, sometimes the guy didn't float like he was in space correctly, but you know.
Well, I know. Yeah, that bugged me a little bit.
See, okay, I let it go. But I mean, it looked like it was on the moon. It looked the part. It's just that the story drung on and on and on. And the big bad was only spiders in space.
Oh my God, they were moon crabs. And I.
I'm sorry. That was the defense. You see that space spiders? That's ridiculous. I demand they were moon crabs. Let it be perfectly clear. The tremendous difference you have offended me, sir.
Moon crabs, and they were creepy because crustaceans are creepy. Okay, like they have creepiness to them, and I thought they were creepy. And we didn't actually see that they were moon crabs until later. So, I don't know. I might be getting ahead of myself, but...
did the build-up... I mean, because they spent a tin can forever. They didn't do anything. I love that they added the Russian cosmonaut thing. That was kind of...
I know, right? That was cool.
It was cool. I tried to figure out, why do they... We call astronauts, and they're called cosmonauts. And then I figured I didn't care because I didn't know, and I found out later on Wikipedia, which I...
Oh, my God.
So I just... And then I was just...
You just let your thoughts wander? Is that what happened? Because you were... Oh, my God. Okay, here. Here's so my defense.
Yeah, go defend this turd, because I don't know.
Okay, so I'm with you. Like, the very beginning of the movie, I thought, oh, because, you know, they had that, like, those cereal box instructions, like, we couldn't come to these conclusions on our own, which I really hate when people start out a movie
total
with, like,
panel.
Oh, I hate that. I'm like, okay, great. Now I'm going to be trying to poke holes in how they could have possibly retrieved this footage, you know? I'm like, oh, darn. I almost said something else, but you caught me. So then I was like, okay, fine. I will try and suspend my disbelief from here, even though I really hate it when they have these stupid directions for me, when they could have just as well helped me piece it together in some sort of video montage type thing.
Oh, wait. I just want to be clear. So they wrote on the screen some sort of background or something? Is that what we're talking
about?
Yeah,
they're like, you know, the history of the Apollo missions. And then it talks about how the Apollo 17 project was secret and everything was recorded, though, and this is recovered. So I'm like, oh, man, now I'm going to be trying to poke holes through that. Like, now I wish they had just said, hey, here's Apollo 17. It was a secret mission. And go, you know. But anyway, so...
So you like this movie, right?
I did. So then, once they get up in this space, like, after the stupid barbecue scenes and all that stuff that I'll not like, to, like, try and get me into the characters, they finally got into space. And the cool points about this movie are that there's this claustrophobic feeling. There's this feeling of helplessness and kind of that they're all alone, that they're isolated and they have just nowhere to go. And those are really cool themes that I like to see in a movie. I like to feel that kind of fear. So I really liked that.
I don't know. I felt that already in Blair Witch. So it's just like, okay, Blair Witch in space. I mean, I've seen it, but it's just in space.
I don't know. I mean, I actually didn't want to kill these guys. Like, I wanted to kill the Blair Witch people because they were really whiny and annoying. So, like, I didn't like that movie nearly as much as this movie. And it's possible that I hated Blair Witch because I had to freaking clean up barf after that movie was done. I don't know how many damn times, because I worked in a movie theater when that thing was playing.
Wow. Okay. Gross.
I know. Isn't that disgusting? You too would hate that movie if you had to deal with that. But
Same thing happened to me when I watched Predators. The exact same thing happened. I didn't have to clean it, but I was just like, man, I'm not sure about this movie. Oh, now I'm really not enjoying this. Really not enjoying this. Whole back row started clearing out.
Oh, I wouldn't. That's...
I blame Adrian Brody. Personally, I do.
Yeah.
I think I would have barfed even without any movie if I had just thought of Adrian Brody. But so back to my defense. I work in the government. They made it a point to try and make things seem authentic. Like, I really loved the line where the guy was like, well, all the missions are results-oriented, so we better succeed, you know? And I'm like, oh, I hear that stuff all the time. You know, that's authentic. And, you know, the whole, like, joking around with each other, you know, that's a Navy salute, man. Like, I just loved it. I ate that stuff up because I hear that all the time. And I don't know. I liked the characters. I liked the whole mechanism that they used with that guy's tape recorder that was playing. You know what I'm talking about, where his kid, like, records.
Oh, yeah. That was... It was.
I thought that was cute. And, you know, I hate to do this. I hate to turn up my geek to 11, but they seriously were not joking around when they chose, like, yes to have in the on the tape player, like, Close to the Edge. That whole album is about space stuff and being the last two people on Earth and the apocalypse. And I thought, well, that wasn't a joke. Like, they meant to do that. And then that kind of got me a little creeped out a little more because I remembered all those lyrics, but I'm sure that was something that maybe not everybody else.
No, I didn't get that far. And now I can see why you like this a little bit more because you're a little closer to it. But like, you know, I've seen military things on, you know, various movies and TV shows. And so that part didn't bother me. That's.
What about the cosmonaut stuff, though? That was cool.
It was cool.
The science was plausible. I hate to say it, but, you know, it's out there that there it's debatable, you know, whether or not life started here on Earth, but, like, it could have been from an impact crater. So it's interesting that they kind of wove that into the story. That
so we're descended from crustaceans. Those things look like spiders. They had like spider legs. They didn't look crustacean.
No, but I mean the moon has a far different landscape, so they probably evolved to look more like the moon. That was my take on it. Like that they came out of an impact crater. They look like rocks. They didn't feel like rocks. They felt different from rocks. And then, like, the freaking rock outside creeped me out, and they were stuck in this tiny, tiny little space pod or whatever they were in, and that freaked me out. And, oh, my God, what happened, Carl? Did you just faint?
No, I remember I didn't see it. I'm listening to you and Kat. Just...
So based on what we're saying right now, what do you think, Carl?
Well, I am a big fan of authenticity, and I like detail in terms of creating believable characters. So I'm listening to what you're saying. And I, too, have done some work for the government, so I can relate to how they use bureaucracy as a weapon and that kind of language to seemingly impede progress. That sounds like an exciting framework to begin with. But if the payoff isn't that great, I am less than enthusiastic about seeing the film. I mean,
okay, Kat, were you not sad at all about the end? Like, you didn't want at least somebody to make it?
The problem, I think the problem with this movie is me, and that I've seen this guy on Sanctuary, and I've seen this other guy, and the guy at the end, he was from Apollo, and I mean, not Apollo, Alpha is a TV show on Sci-Fi, that new, and I don't want to see him. So when I see these two characters, I wanted to leave because I just felt that this wasn't going to be a high caliber film for me. Now, you know what's interesting, Carl, is that you know how you watch Transformers and you liked the part where they went back in history with the you know Apollo program and all that other type of stuff in Transformers recently?
I don't think I really like that part of the movie.
Oh, you didn't? I thought you said it. You thought it was a little cool that they went through that, but okay.
I think I said something more along the lines of I thought the space program was actually very interesting, and I felt that them trying to rehash it this way was a perversion of what was actually happened, and I felt it was one of like four possible movies that could have been in here. That's what I was.
Okay.
Yeah. Then I must have passed out. Not have listened to what
that's understandable. I
have that effect. I don't know. I see what you're saying about this movie, but I don't know.
Creepy moments for you? What about when that thing was in his suit and it was creepy in every way? Like, did you not even... jump out of your seat when Moon Crab was in that guy's suit, and they didn't know what it was, and then, like, obviously it had burrowed into his skin, and they're like, oh, I don't know what happened to the rock.
You know, I've seen something so similar on the X-Files, and it's like, oh, something's in the helmet, but okay, great, I've seen this.
Checked out of the Sci-Fi Channel for way too long, or watched way too many reruns of, like, Ghost Hunters instead of these crappy movies that come on. I don't know. I thought I actually watched the Sci-Fi Channel, but...
See, I can't watch Ghost Hunters because it doesn't do anything for me.
I would prefer that than some sort of lame, low-budget Canadian film, but...
I didn't mean in that way, but... I don't know. It just seemed like it was...
I'd like to apologize to all Canadians right now. I've had two slams on Canada, and I'm really sorry for that. I actually like Canada.
Yeah, you like right or... Anyway.
I liked it. I thought that the characters were compelling. I liked the cosmonaut bit didn't seem like a red herring to me. I mean, obviously I suspected that because of the previews that there was nothing to do with the cosmonaut. But it was there. It was a possibility. And I thought, well, that would be really cool if they had taken that bent, but they didn't. So I thought that that was a cool part of the story. I thought the science seemed fairly sound and that they did their homework on that.
Yeah.
I liked their choice of yes, because prog rock is one of my guilty pleasures. And I thought, oh my God, that's a really cool thing to do. And then, what else? I don't know. I really liked the whole authenticity of don't leave a man behind. Like, that guy in the orbiter was resisting direct orders.
And he got himself killed.
Well, he did, but, I mean, that was his personality, and I had invested in that in his character at that point. So I thought, well, he's not leaving anybody behind.
And then, I would have liked to see somebody made it. It would have made the movie seem a little, like, worth it.
Oh, I'm glad. I like those bleak endings, like those bleak 70s, movie endings where nobody makes it, and I don't know. I like that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
Anyway, I guess I don't know. When I came home, I literally stepped in and got your email that was like, "Don't watch this piece of crap movie." And I was like, "Oh my God, same movie?" Am I suddenly,
I like, save you from this movie, because I was just thought, wow, what a piece of crap. I could have like got my little sister and my like two cousins, and we could have went to backyard and made that movie. And it was
and here I was thinking, well, you know, that conspiracy theory, that was pretty plausible, and that's pretty interesting that they would actually be in cahoots with the Russians during the Cold War period, and wow, that's really cool. And, oh, I'm so glad that the aliens don't look humanoid, because I would have really been upset by that. And, sneaky how they live in a crater. Well, of course, that could have impacted the moon from the far reaches of space, and who's to say what... Mm-hmm. What generates life, and I don't know. I
went in there with too much hope, and I went in there with just not enough hope.
And then there was the ending. We cannot close this out without talking about the silliness that was the ending, which was, it was like the other side of the cereal box lid, where it was like, move lid over to close. Like, literally, they said, well, there are all these moon rocks that made it back to Earth, and they were given out as gifts to people, and dun-dun-dun-dun!
I was tired by then, and I was just like, really? So what does that mean? They got them and destroyed them, or they went to a crater on the Earth, and they're living peacefully somewhere? Or are we eating them when we go out to Red Lobster? I don't know.
I think they were probably cast in the last Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Remember, they were running across the surface of the planet. They moved a ship. They're very small.
I don't know. Oh, my God. I just feel like
I feel like I'm not a classy person because I'm not technical geeky enough
or I don't know. I just didn't appreciate this film at all. I'd seen just bits and pieces of this thing before. It felt like a morsel from the Transformers movie. Like they took that beginning of the Transformers.
That is sad. But you're like, well, they stole from the Transformers, which is the most unimaginative.
Right? They stole from Transformers.
Listen. I think the complete opposite of the case. You see, when Transformers steals from so many different sources, you can't help but have some part of your idea be in the Transformers film. It's like, there's no escape.
I don't know. I wanted to like this a little bit more. I don't think I could ever watch it again. I mean, as soon as I saw those two actors, I shut down a little bit.
I will see. So. Maybe that was my saving grace. I didn't know a damn person in this movie. I thought they were great. I liked the characters. Was happy that nobody made it, which makes me evil. I'm glad that it was a monster flick instead of a crazy cosmonaut flick. That's it. It was okay. I liked Fright Night way better, but...
Yeah, me too. So I had seen Fright Night just before I saw Apollo, so that could have had something to do with it as well. But we're going to get into Fright Night, you and I, a little bit more, because we have some interesting things. But let's get into... Carl, will you ever watch this, like, even on late night? Just, like, if you're bored one night and because I want him to see it now and I want to see where he comes down, like, if he just really hates it or if he really appreciates it.
Yeah, your mission now, Carl, is to watch it and tell us, come back and tell us what you thought.
You know that you said that
I will pay for it.
You know how you said that probably the most authentic part of the film was the feeling of claustrophobia, of being closed in, boxed into a surface, all alone, in a desolated area? That's kind of how I'm feeling right now. It's a little bit how I'm feeling. I'm telling
that is.
I tell you what, because I watch all types of science fiction. And my expectations are sufficiently low. I will watch this movie, not in a theater, but I will.
Yeah.
I will watch it, and I will let you know what I thought about it. But
all right, yeah. I'm done campaigning.
Yeah, all right.
DragonCon, Carl, tell us about DragonCon. We didn't get to go.
Oh, Kat, what are you doing, woman? I have asked you for a solid year. I said, you got to come to DragonCon. I had a ball. I told you all the fun I had. I said, just show up. I'll hook you up. You got to come.
Wait, what? What do you mean, just show up, I'll hook? What does that mean?
That means if you had just shown up, I would have been able to find a spot for you.
What?
Everything would have been fine. I said, just show up. Just show up.
See, he's adding that on. That's not real.
I'm telling you, I would have hooked you up. I had the space. It was all right. But all right, let's. I had a good time. Is the Cliff's Notes. I have only just begun to recuperate from Dragon Con. So many things happened that even as we speak, at this very moment, I am trying to arrange the insanity of what went down into a coherent stream that can be articulated in a way that makes sense. A lot happened. I would tell you.
Let's start with the bits and pieces. I know you had the only two costumes that I've seen via other people taking picture of you is that you get the standard Ghostbusters because he has a killer Ghostbusters costume that he has to wear every year because it's just so amazing. So you had that one, and you had a new addition, which was an MIB.
Yes, I made an MIB Men in Black outfit, mostly because I could not get a temperature cool Tron outfit together. This is Atlanta, Georgia, folks. And you know, I had old man, you know, like old man Flynn cloak with my
we're gonna say dits. Old man Rash.
What?
I'm sorry, go on.
So I had sort of
wow. Gross.
I don't know.
No, that is not what I was going to say, usually. But no, so I had old man Flynn you know, cloak and disc and all that. But there's no way I was going to wear that in Georgia. I mean, it's got power and alligator clips and voltage and batteries. It generates heat and lights up. There's no way I could wear that in Atlanta. So I ended up just having my Ghostbusters in Men in Black. Men in Black is, of course, the standard suit that they have. But I had to whip up a gun.
That gun was amazing.
Well, thank you, because, the super brief analysis is I built it out of a black light. So the glowing purple hue of the black light and I put a strobe light on the tip of it. You know, it had a, you know, gun barrel and all that stuff. So I put all that stuff together. I built that gun in about 18 hours because stuff happened and I didn't have time and it was all kinds of other craziness was going on. So I managed to get that gun together just in time. And when I say just in time, it was two teams. My good friends that I typically tell you about, they drove from here to Atlanta, which is the only way that I could get my proton pack and gun there. This is like I'm going to stick a giant gun and a multi-pack battery with a plasma plate in it and just pass that through, you know, Washington, D.C. airport. Like, don't worry about that. It has nuclear symbols on it, you know, because I want it to be authentic.
Oh, my God. So, you know, terrorist? What?
I'm telling you, there is no way I could get any of this gear past the airport. So thankfully, my crew drove all of my gear down, which was really nice. But yes, Men in Black, Ghostbusters were my outfits. Let's see, where to go, where to start?
So two costume changes.
That's what I did. Okay. Here's another little crazy background. They have a parade at Dragon Con, Big Dragon Con parade. And they tell you ahead of time, they say, hey, you know, if you want to be in the parade, you can team up with some people, register ahead of time, you can get in the parade. Okay. Well, Dragon Con sends out these pamphlets, these booklets, like, you know, 8 months in advance, 4 months in advance. Who reads that far in advance? Really, who reads that kind of stuff? Would you say, and the print's really tiny.
So you plan a year in ahead, but you can't read 4 months in advance.
Well, I told you the print was tiny. The print is very small.
Oh, okay. Pardon me.
But the point is it's a week. It's a solid week before Dragon Con. And I'm sitting back. I'm laid out on the couch, and I'm flipping through this little booklet. And it says, if you want to be in the parade, contact this address by this date. And I look at it, and this is like Sunday night that I'm reading it here. And I'm looking at it, and I look at the date, and I look at it again. It was due the day before. I said, oh, no. And they said, so if you would like to be in, send an email to this address. So what I did is I went on the internet, and I found this optical illusion that looks like they are these sort of concentric swirls that look like they're moving, but they're not. You know, it's an optical illusion, sort of hypnotic, if you will, hypnotic. And I stuck that right in the middle of my email, and I said, please read very closely. And then underneath it, I said, this registration is not late. You are very happy to have another participant in your parade this year. After all, you can never have too many Ghostbusters in the parade. You will now feel relaxed and refreshed. Thank you
These
for
are not the droids it. You're These looking for.
And I sent that off. It was just, I was like, no one's going to read it. I know I'm late. I'm not going to hear a thing. I'm screwed, but at least they'll get a laugh out of it. Day went by. 2 days went by. Nothing. Then I get this email. Oh, Mr. Leonard, we received your, shall we say, colorful announcement regarding the participation in the Dragon Con parade. Regrettably, the date has expired. However, if you are dressed as a Ghostbuster, there is a troop of Ghostbusters that may have a spare ticket for you. Perhaps you should contact them directly. And they sent you the little address. And they said, thank you, we are feeling refreshed after your email. So I was like, I got a chance. So I contacted the guys and the crew at the Georgia Ghostbusters. Okay, now, aww. So here's the thing. You know, I like Ghostbusters. People love Ghostbusters. Well, there are these, you know, active fan groups all around the country. And they're sort of broken out by state, apparently. And they get together and they do things, you know, for charity in the name of the Ghostbusters.
The 501st for Star Wars.
Exactly, exactly. They have them for Ghostbusters. And so the guy in charge of the Georgia Ghostbusters, you know, drops me a line. He's like, hey, I think I remember you from last year. Yeah, we've got an extra ticket for you. You gotta come, you gotta come. I was like, all right, I'm in. So I said, I get
beautiful.
I was very happy to get to be in the parade. Okay, so. So things are starting to work out. Yeah, so you see, I'm happy things are starting to work out. So, all right, Friday morning, I hit the plane. I'm out, show up in Georgia. I was very excited because it's the earliest I had ever shown up for Dragon Con. It's my second time going. So, you know, I did it last year, kind of haphazard. This time, I said, I got a plan. I got the booklet. Oh, and the thing that makes the most tremendous difference. Thank you, Dragon Con. Thank you. There is a Dragon Con app for your iPhone or portable device. No, listen, you're laughing.
This is safe seats for you.
That thing is a lifesaver. If you do not have that, you've got to carry around this newsprint guide that is never up to date. You know, this stuff, the calendar, you literally have 4, maybe 5 hotels worth of activities going on that are constantly being reshuffled. There are other things that are going on. There's no way. You can't use that guide and be on top of things at Dragon Con. So they came out with this cool app where they push announcements and let you know if things have gotten canceled, and you can sort of like bookmark events and it'll put it out on a little calendar. So I was like, I was on the plane. I was like, I'm going to this, I'm going to that. Oh, there's a conflict here. And then I'm doing like strategies. Which hotel is closest and how far? I mean, so I had my game plan all set out. I was ready. I get off the plane. I show up and my friends are like, hey man, where you been? I said, what? I just got here. What's the problem? They're like, dude, the party started like Thursday night. I
said, what day did you get there? I thought you were going to be there Thursday night.
Well, I got there Friday morning because it says Dragon Con starts on Friday.
Ah, dude, you got the Thursday pre-day.
Well, you know, I'm starting to think it's just going to be Dragon Con week. Forget the actual dates. They just keep moving it back a day. Each day that you go, it's a day earlier.
That's how Comic Con is, because they got preview Thursday and then comic book Wednesday, all leading up to the weekend, but you got all these preview days. So like, I think that's what they're doing.
That's what they did. So they got me again. But registration, you remember what the line was like last year, right?
Oh, man, that turned me off because I said, I'm not standing in a 3-hour line.
And I told you, I said, they've got a handy dandy, quote, barcode system that, you see, that's radical technology.
Yeah, but I didn't believe it was going to be effective. I was like, well, I'll let him go to see if it'll, because I don't trust it.
I got off the plane. I got out of the cab. I had my ticket in my pocket. I walked into the registration place, picked up my badge, picked up my banquet ticket, registered for next year's, bought the ticket for next year's in 20 minutes.
Unheard of.
I couldn't believe it. I just breezed through. I said, this doesn't even make any sense. I can't even believe this.
Stormy took a video last year of... the line, and it was
I saw it.
The video. Okay, well, you know,
I did. Hate to break it to you though, that barcode technology, like, they use that at Chuck E. Cheese, though.
What are you talking about? That was state of the art barcode. Space age technology that's only readable by a computer that allowed me to get in and out very quickly. Yes, I, as advanced as Dragon Con is, I was excited to hear they embraced this state of the art technology this year.
That's just the line right there.
I'm just happy at work. I'm happy at work. So I got in, I was so afraid of the line. I actually took my luggage, you know, as soon as I got out of the cab, I didn't even check in the hotel room. I walked straight into the line. I was like, you're kidding me. This is it. So I was all set. I went back to the hotel room. I got dressed. I was men in black first day. So I had my gun was all charged. And I walk into one of the big hotels. The first person I see cheesing in the corner, Pierre Bernard. Pierre, what's happening, man? It's like, oh, we gotta get a shot. You see, already things are going great at the Dragon.
Where are these pictures? I haven't seen them.
Okay, listen. Yeah, here, I will try desperately to get you some shots. But you see, at Dragon Con, because I had my giant gun, you are dependent on the kindness of strangers. In other words, the posse that I came with. Some are local, some are not. Some have great cameras, some do not. And so I have got this bizarre collage of photos from like four different people that I'm trying to assemble. And of course, the best ones I haven't seen yet. But they are out there. I will get them to you. I'll get them to you. But anyway, so Pierre Bernard, first walking in the door, I see Pierre. I am having a great time. I got all my stuff booked out for the first day. It was, you know, just a couple of events I wanted to go to. I saw some Farscape stuff. Even holding on, still Farscape stuff. I saw Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers, which is, you know, there's a very long story with this, and I'll be super brief, which is I was part of a team that was trying to bring back Buck Rogers. It was sort of an indie film group, and things didn't quite work out, but I did shoot part of it. The part of my team did get to shoot part of this new Buck Rogers film, and Aaron Gray and Gil Gerard were in it, and they played Buck Rogers' parents. They played so
was it that clip you showed me a while back, and it was in a kitchen?
Okay. A lot more footage than that. We shot for a solid week, Kat, and for very complicated, political and financial reasons, it doesn't look like that version of it is actually going to get made. But it was just amazing to be on the set and to see Gil and Aaron and the new young guy that we had being new Buck Rogers. That it really would have worked. I'm so sad it didn't happen. But anyway, so it was sort of like, we're trying to get up to see Aaron to say, hey, how you been? What's going on? But she was so busy, we couldn't catch her. You know how they have the handlers at something like Dragon Con? So she was up there speaking, and she was talking about all the history of Dragon Con and Buck Rogers and things. But she looks just as beautiful as always. She's always very kind. Aaron Gray is very gracious and very kind. So I liked her, and I was just happy to hear her. So that was fun. And we had something to eat. I mean, it was just routine settling in and checking out the costumes this year. One kind of fun thing that was haunting the area, the main hotel area, someone bought a giant inflatable helium fish. All right?
What?
And it's battery operated. So it is a remote control flying fish.
Amazing.
And it just flew around the main conference area for 3 days. It is a job.
Yes, everybody wanted to know,
were they going to get, kissed by the fish? Because the fish is just like, it's two stories up most of the time, and it's hanging around and saying, but every once in a while, the fish would come down. And it would land, and it would bop somebody in the head, or, people, and they would cheer for the fish. It was, I'm not sure what the theme was. I don't know what it was.
It's so weird.
There was a woman who was dressed as Ariel from The Little Mermaid, who actually had a mermaid tail, and was just chilling in the lounge. She really looked like Ariel. It was very good. And of course, naturally, the fish came down and visited Ariel.
Okay, I'm confused. Why was Ariel there?
People, it's supposed to be, sci-fi, fantasy, but people dress however the heck they want. For the most
part, Mary Poppins, it was...
To be fair, Little Mermaid is probably the premier science fiction movie of all time. I mean, I
haven't seen it yet, so.
Oh my God, Kat! I'm a dude, and I've seen Little Mermaid.
Well, it's hard.
Come on.
And I don't care.
Come on.
Okay, I'm still confused. Little Mermaid. Okay, that's cool though. At least the fish was there.
Don't try to make out the costumes. Because like I said, it's science fiction and fantasy, but people show up however they want. There's just everything is at Dragon Con. So, and that's part of the fun. You just walk around. You have no idea what to expect. I like Waldo. I love Waldo. Waldo is always there. Waldo is always at Dragon Con.
I just really want to dress up whatever and go.
You can. Whatever you want.
Whatever you want will blend at Dragon Con.
I think Hanako had on a blue wig this year or something. I don't know.
Well,
that's my hair every day.
So you could just do what she's like, it's not a costume. I just want a blue wig. Whatever.
Yeah. And people will be trying to figure it out. You're like one of the Disney characters. And you can just lie. Yes. Yes, I am Disney character.
Now, you had tequila shots with somebody.
Yeah, I know. Are you going to get to it?
Okay, good.
All right. You want to rush to the
I don't want to rush. I'm sorry. I'm going to back off of it.
I'll jump in. So we'll talk about costumes later. So, all right. I had a great time first day. Great costumes, great, you know, events in meeting up with folks. And it was good to see all my crew got together. Because I told you before, a lot of my friends are interested in filmmaking, in indie filmmaking. They are connected with folks. They're connected with producers and filmmakers and writers. I don't know, because I'm sort of like second tier. But I got invited to a party that was going on that night at DragonCon. It was at Hard Rock. We go out to this event. Now, I told you I had to go to the parade in the morning. And my crew was a party crew. They were not going to the parade. I was the only one that was going to be in the parade, and I had to be there at 8 in order to line up with the other Ghostbusters.
Break a dawn.
Yeah, don't even get me started. But my crew are party crew. They, like, you know, dancing all night. They don't care. We kick in the door at 12:45. All right, 12:45, we show up at this place, and I know it is going to be on. So I was like, I don't feel like going. I don't know if this is me. It's going to be late. I got to get dressed, and my proton pack's not done charging. I don't know. So I get in the door. People are dancing. We're all jamming. The place is packed. It's Hard Rock Cafe. Costumes all around. You know, let me tell you, you have not been to a party until you have seen Hellraiser and Freddy dancing together in a corner.
Yes!
That is a party, okay? So I'm going in, music's bumping, you know, people are packed in there, wall to wall, they're, you know, selling all kinds of drink, whatnot, and I walk in there, and all right, welcome to the Hard Rock, I'm so glad you guys are coming here. I look up the MC for this party is Tyrell from Battlestar Galactica.
Nice.
I look, it's Aaron Douglas, so Chief Tyrell is the MC at this party. And I'm going, what? You know, because you're not ready. You're looking around, you're like, hey, holy crap, is that? He's up there with the DJ going, all right, everybody having a good time? I said, oh, this party is starting to look up, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm dancing with my friends, and I'm getting in there, we're having a little bit more fun, dancing around. And in the corner, my friend goes over there, he goes, look, you see that guy over there? That's Mike. I said, who? And I turn and I see this guy. And he's got these crazy thick glasses on, and his hair's kind of, you know, kind of spiky, and he's in the corner, and he's chatting with his friend. I'm like, Mike who? He goes, that's Michael Rosenbaum.
What? Said,
oh. Lex is in the corner of this glass. I'm sitting at these, so their bodies and their heads are moving around. I got to go see Lex. I got to go see Lex. And so I'm trying to work my way through the crowd, and people are running all into me, and I'm trying to get to the corner. First of all, with hair and glasses, he looks nothing like Lex. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what I was expecting. I think his hair color is a little different than you think. I couldn't find him. I got over there. He was gone. He was like a phantom. He was there, and then he was gone. He was like Lex, you know, he was like clone Lex. I just saw him, but now. So I come back to my group, I'm like, oh, man, dejected. We're all there dancing. We're dancing in the corner. We're jamming. We're getting down. Okay, so the party's going on. And they start inviting people up on stage. You know, Chief is up there bringing people up on stage. They got the hotties and the girls in their little scanty outfits, you know, and the guys are up there and they're trying to, you know, hit on the scantily clad. And then I look at the corner. So you got to imagine, it's a gentle pan. You sort of scan across the stage. You see, you know, hot chick, you know, dude trying to hit on her. There's the gap. There's got the teal right up there. And then all of a sudden, Ming the Merciless is on stage, right? What's crazy about this? You look across the club. Everybody is bouncing, right? Everybody is moving. And so, you know, the heads are bouncing, the arms, the elbows are bouncing all around. And then you see him standing perfectly still. Ming is on stage, and his hands are out. And so you see he is dominating the club, but somehow on beat. I don't know how he did it. So he stands there, and with the light coming from behind, it was just... And I'm going, holy crap, is that Dr. Doom next to him? Well, all right. So...
Ming is on stage with Dr. Doom, but it's not Dr. Doom. I had to do a little research. Ming has a sidekick named Clytus that looks just like Dr. Doom. He's got the, you know, the metallic face and the hood. And so those two are on stage, you know, just generally being bad. And the girls are like, oh, it's Ming the Merciless. I'm going, this is crazy. This is nuts. So they're clustering around Ming, and everybody's taking pictures, and they're dancing. This place is getting crazy. And so I look around, and then the next horror. Beautiful girls at the bar, and I'm looking at her like, oh man, she's pretty hot. You know, she's sitting there on the edge of the bar, and people are talking to her. People in costume. She's not even in costume. And then I slowly see a guy starting to descend on her, and I go, oh no, because you see, he is dressed as Mr. Spock. Now, his ears are kind of hanging off, so they don't really match. He's got like a bad wig on, so the hair isn't lining up right. You know, the costume, I think it's a little out of shape. So I'm going, oh God, oh no. This is so like a slow moving car accident. I have to watch. I'm like, oh, this, I got to see how this is going. And so with Tricorder, Spock sidles up to the girl at the bar, right? I'm like, oh, geez. And he starts talking to her, and I'm watching, and he's talking to her, and I'm watching, and then she starts laughing.
Oh.
And I'm looking around, like, does anybody else? 15 minutes later, Spock he's macking with the girl. They're still talking at the 15 minutes later. So when you got Ming the Merciless and Clytus holding down the dance floor, and Spock picking up a girl at the bar, it was so unbelievable. A small group of guys had formed, because I was standing there in paralysis going, I could have I looked over, and this group of guys were doing the exact same thing, and I got mad because they were in my way. I was like, get out of the way. I'm trying to see.
I couldn't believe it.
So I still dancing. Everything's still going. We're having a great time. I'm dancing. Boom. Turn around. Pierre Bernard. I run into Pierre. Pierre is at the club. He's dancing. I'm like, Pierre, how you doing? I'm having to chat and talking with him. And then announcement comes from the stage. Oh, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, we want to present to you. On stage comes both Jack Carter and his daughter from Eureka. two characters from Eureka. Stars Eureka comes.
Yay.
And everybody's cheering for them, of course, with a slight tinge of sadness because, you know, we know how how Eureka had unceremoniously has been ended. So everybody gave them a rousing applause and appreciation for all the great stuff they had done on the series. And they you know, they said thanks. They were very gracious. And then they just started getting down. So they're on stage with Ming and Clytus, and just see the father and daughter dancing on stage like that. Little creepy, but still cool. They got down having a great time. So I'm actually dancing with my posse. And you know, when you're on a dance floor, there are circles. You know, your circle of folks, and then another circle of people, and another circle of people. And so I'm starting to dance now. It's like nigh on 2 in the a.m. now. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to make it to the parade. I don't care. I'm dancing. I'm having a good time. And I'm bumping into another circle. You know, another circle is hitting me from behind. I'm like, hold it. You know, dancing it. Boom. Get hit it. Let's won't get it. Boom. Now, at least it hit me on rhythm, whoever this is. I'm like, after the fifth time, I turn around. I go, who the hell is this in front of me? Misha Collins. Supernatural is on the dance floor and getting down behind me. And I let Rosenbaum go. I said, there is no way. And I grabbed my friend. I'm like, Cynthia, that is Castiel's with me. She goes, who? What? She doesn't watch Supernatural. It was totally lost on her. I was like, I got to get it. So he's dancing. He's throwing down, you know, in his group. So I said, okay, come around here. And so I turned to him. I said, hey, excuse me, Mr. Collins. You mind if I get a quick shot with you? My friend is here. And he says, what? I said, you mind if I get a quick shot with you, my friend? And he goes, you want to buy me a shot? I said, what? And then I point to my friend who's there with the camera. He looks at it. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. You want it? I said, yes. Can I get a shot? He goes, oh, sure. And he leads in. You know, we're all sweaty and tired. I got a shot with Misha Collins. He was so cool. I said, Misha, man, you're my favorite in all the fan lines. You're my favorite, man. You're why I watch Supernatural. You're awesome. He's like, oh, thanks. I hope you're having a good time. Thanks, Misha. You're all right. You know, and I said, you know what? He says, what? I said, sir, I will buy you a shot. I said, what's your poison? What's your what? He said, tequila? I said, you got it. And so I got it. Me and Misha, tequila shots at the Hard Rock. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Oh, man.
So, I looked up. I think Spock went home with the girl. Ming and Clyde stayed on stage the whole time, just rocking out. Pierre disappeared. Rosenbaum disappeared. But it was really good. Oh yes. And lastly, one of the agents from Eureka, one of the casting agents. I was talking to her, and I was just sort of like, oh, I can't believe what they did with Eureka. She's like, yeah, I know, this is terrible. Things were going so well, and it was a shock to all of us. But you know, she just said, you know, thank you as a fan, and all the other folks are out there for supporting Eureka. It was it was a fun run, and we had a really good time. So yeah, I'm next to Misha and everybody else. I'm just hanging out with the casting agents for Eureka. So the party was ridiculous. That wow. I was totally unprepared for the craziness that went down. So yeah, it was the night. So this is night one.
Wow,
this is night one.
Follow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, he sells it, doesn't he? He should be spokesperson.
Well, look, hey, this is how it happened. So, all right. So
you know who should be spokesperson? It should be that Spock guy who.
I don't know
he was looking bad and he went home with the woman.
I am in shock, really. I don't know how that happened.
The conversation went like this. Look, I got a fat wad of cash. If you would laugh, head like you're enjoying yourself and walk out of this club with me.
I don't think so.
No, you should be the spokesperson. That was awesome. So, okay.
Spock was working too hard for that dude. You can't work too hard. They were witnesses. I'm still impressed. But anyway, so night one, the next morning, you know, I got up crazy early. Literally, it was like 4 hours of sleep. And then I was dragging my butt out into the streets of Atlanta to try to meet up with the other parade participants.
Was it hot?
Not really. It didn't get hot until maybe around 11. Mm. So the morning wasn't that bad. Of course, I have like a near 30-pound backpack on. I'm wandering around the streets trying to walk like 6 blocks. So that was fun. But what's happening? You know, I'd never been a part of a parade before, or certainly not a Dragon Con parade. And so the fun of it is seeing the groups. You know, the parade route has got little groups of the people that will eventually line up to be, you know, in whatever proper order they are. And so you're just walking, and you see, oh, there's the Back to the Future crew, which had a DeLorean, which had
The picture of that. You know,
with the little hoverboard over there. You're like, oh man, that's awesome. Then you look over here, and then you see it's the team from help me guys, what's Umbrella Corporation Resident Evil crew. So they had what's her name for Resident Evil, and then all of the Umbrella troops that were escorting her through the parade. So you know, they had their gear and their weapons and their crazy cars. So I'm walking along, and they're like, okay, the Ghostbusters right here, and you see there were. Four or five cars tricked out to look like the Ecto-1, but they were different generations. So the first one looked like the actual old Caddy from
the original.
But as they went further back, they got more and more modern. You know, like one was like a little Jeep, one was an SUV, but they were all white. They had the logo on the side, they had the sirens and the gear on there. And I look across the horizon, and they're like, 30 Ghostbusters. They're just all hanging out, you know, sitting there drinking Powerade and sitting in the corner. The parade gets started. I was like, I'm home. These are my people. And when you get over there, you get to look at the costumes, and people have come up with different variations of the costume. Of course, there's your classic Ghostbusters. I built something that's sort of like a futuristic Ghostbuster. You know, mine's like a 21st century one, so it doesn't exactly look like it, but it's all black, and my pack lights up, and it's got one of those little plasma plates that you can touch and stuff. So people are like, ooh, your pack's cool. But I turn around, and there's a guy who's made a steampunk Ghostbuster. And hang on, it had like cogs and moving parts in it, you know, and you put, like, bulk
action, and it had this cone, like, you know, wand on it. It was, and he, of course, he had the gear, the little eye, you know, gadgets and stuff that all, that's classic with steampunk. It was beautiful. I mean, it was, this wasn't just sort of slapped together. It was total era reproduction. It was, the detail is beautiful. And so you, so everybody's just around, you know, admiring each other's gear, because they, the majority of the crew had the classic Ghostbusters backpack, which was 100% authentic to scale, the components, all the pieces were laid out in the right place. Everybody was looking great. And, you know, we started a parade route, and we just started marching, and folks were just cheering, you know, because with Ecto-1 was the first one. And when you come around that corner, and people are cheering for the Ghostbusters, and, you know, it's not too often that you can put on a costume, and people routinely ask you, are you a god? You know, that's funny. So, you know, people out of the crowd, you know, are you,
what was your answer?
Yes! And you don't get a sense of scale when you're talking about Dragon Con until you start walking the street. I told you there are probably 4, maybe 5 primary hotels. Most of them are conjoined. They're connected in downtown Atlanta. And then they have...
Street?
They have skywalks that connect the different hotels. And so we're in the street, you know, walking along. Now, there are people along the parade route, you know, 6, 10 people deep all the way along the parade route. And so you're looking down, and of course, you know, when the little kids come by, you reach out, you know, you give them a little fist bump, or you shake the hands of the kids, because they're always real happy to see the you know, Ghostbusters and stuff. But I stopped at one point, and I looked up, and the hotels have, you know, windows and balconies, you know, 10, 12, 15 stories high. There were people up there looking down. I'm like, man, this city has really turned out for the Dragon Con. It was just massive, the amount of folks that you see and how much, you know, attention and detail that people put into their costume. The newest costume that I saw at this event, that I assume is going to be really big in the future, were the Warhammer. The Warhammer.
Yes. Costume.
I mean, you know, they built the chainsaw, you know, weaponry. They had all of the gear, and they really, you see, a couple of my friends were interested in the role playing game, and, you know, the models.
Oh my god! Okay, so, I'm gonna be quiet now, because that's like my weakness.
Well, so I had just enough knowledge to recognize that, you know, the outfits, but these people showed up. They had the different races of the Warhammer people. So, you know, they were like soldiers, and they were these ghost phantom things. And I'm not sure what all the people are, but I hear there's a movie coming out. And so, in anticipation of all of that, there was a serious Warhammer contingent at Dragon Con. And so I'm always keeping my eyes open to see who's next and, you know, what's coming out. They were like three times as many Warhammer as Tron people. And, you know, Tron came out last year. So,
Tron.
So, oh, yes, they were Tron. I mean, so everyone.
Is it Star Trek?
There's this guy. And you'll see from the photos when you look through pictures of Dragon Con. I got to meet James Doohan years ago.
Sweet.
After a convention. And, you know, he was nice and he was a really cool dude. There was a dude that looked exactly like James. It was freaking. Because I was just walking around and I saw him before the parade. And I just looked at him and he looked so much like James Dewey. It really puts you off. You're like, ha ha. You know, when you see him, it was really. But he was perfect. It was perfect. He looked like he was dressed out of, you know, as a. I think he was wearing Trek 2 outfit. Trek 2, maybe. But anyway, you know, the red one with I'm telling you, the costumes were just incredible. Everything that you can imagine was there. I mean, from Slee Stacks to who else was sort of like a crazy, because somebody was like, you should dress as a Slee Stack. I was like, Slee Stack, no one's gonna dress that. There were like 4 Slee Stacks. You know, it was just really amazing to see what people coming together with, and to see the city turn out that way. Was really, really fun, and I was happy to be part of the parade. That was great. Good times. So, I don't know. Anybody got any questions? Uh-huh. I mean, there's other stuff, but I'm getting tired. So,
even said, like, we don't have TV or movie or anything, and you're telling us stories about the Empire.
I know. I'm sorry. I have nothing to contribute other than, wow, he's walking around this whole place in a Ghostbusters.
Oh, man. Yeah. And you know, and I blend. That's the thing. It's not like I stood out or anything. You know,
There was someone dressed as a velociraptor. Let me tell you, the raptor was awesome. All right, the raptor was, first of all, the raptor had personality. So the raptor would mess with people, and that was really funny. But the costume was just beautiful, and the way they moved was awesome. There was a transformer, but the transformer was Ravage, which is the panther transformer, okay. You know, the panther thing. And they were on all fours for the majority of the con in the main area. And the gear, you couldn't tell the way the costume wrapped around the person. You couldn't quite make out, you know, it didn't look like somebody was on fours. The way that the costume wrapped around them, there were all these gears and components that were coming off the side. And he really, really nailed the whole kind of Ravage look. And, of course, he was hanging out with Bumblebee, and there was one other transformer. And, I mean, I don't mean like, you know, cardboard Bumblebee. I mean, these are like fiberglass and, you know, plastic. What? They composed lit up stuff, lit up, wow, in the forms, and they had the helmet. I mean, it was, these people
that
have
is
really
dedication.
Everywhere,
it is. Were there everywhere, any alien and predator?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, there was a group of aliens of predators. There was like five predators that were all hanging together to take a picture, and I was dressed as Man in Black, Betty. And so when I saw them, I just busted into cries. Excuse me. You guys do not have permits to be here this evening. Sorry. And I turned to the group that was taking pictures, and I said, I want to excuse you people. What you see here are people in costume. And I did the costume pictures. And I do not, what you're seeing is just a routine event here at Dragon Con. There's nothing to see here. But I'm going to need you to, and I reached into my pocket, and I built a neuralizer. I said, I'm going to look right here.
Oh my God.
And of course, my neuralizer flashes. It's got a strobe light in it. So I was like, if you just look right, it would have flashed. It was like, oh, and the neuralizer works. So the convergence of costumes made things a lot of fun, because you'll be walking around, and you will happen upon people that match or complement your costume or something. Like, There was a dead-on Darth Vader. There was a dead-on Darth Vader. I mean, just he had the lights and helmet, everything. And he walked on. He just happens on to a Darth helmet. You know, and so to see the Darth helmet and Vader chilling, you know, by the elevator, it was just beautiful. You know, and then you can see him chatting it up like, oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. You know, not bad, you know. The stormtroopers come in a shocking variety. You know, of course, you've got your classic 501st looking regular stormtrooper, but people have just started going nuts with the stormtroopers. My two favorite stormtrooper variants this year, there was one that was all red with a double pinstripe down the side. He was a B-boy Adidas stormtrooper. He had a big, thick gold chain around his neck. He had a red boombox, and he could actually dance. So he's like breaking in the stormtrooper outfit. You know, he's blowing like old Houdini music. It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
That's awesome.
And then walking down the hall, the second stormtrooper. Now, I mean, you got to go with me on this one. It's a lot cooler than it sounds. But he was dressed like a regular stormtrooper, except he had 8-track cassettes stuck all on him.
Oh,
it was an 8-track player right in his chest, and he's playing like 70s music. So you can look around, and he's playing like Saturday Night Fever, and he's doing the, you know, the Staying Alive finger. But he had like, you know, a 2001, you know, tape on him, and he had a, you know, like a Cheech and Chong tape on him. And he's like, you don't know what the idea was, but it somehow when it came together, it was just very cool. So it's just craziness everywhere you look. The people, oh man, the costumes. And so, oh yes, of course, let's just say there were some folks that were big on the body paint. Late evening. Well, let me tell you, the ladies that went with the body paint were working the body paint. All right, this is not like some folks where you're like, oh, I don't want to see that. These ladies, when they put on the body paint, and it was pretty much just body paint, there was mutual appreciation from everyone there. All right, that's all I got to say. There was this woman in green, and I don't even know what she was. She was not an Orion slave girl. I don't know what she was. She looked like some kind of like a peacock lady. I don't know, but everyone stopped to get a picture with her because she was working the paint. I'm telling you, there was a mystique there. Oh my goodness,
she had on the body paint and something sort of like a bikini with body paint. Mystique was on. I mean, it was just, I'm telling you. I was like, hey, Mystique, you know, I'm a Men in Black. I think maybe we should talk. after the program, I got a permit for you. But so, you know, you're going to get the range, you know, the people that have gone all out, you know, in terms of the design of the costumes, that's authenticity, cool, as well as you just the straight up freaks out there, you know, that are just really, really having a good time. But it was.
So what's the most obscure costume that you recognized, like the most obscure reference costume?
Oh, man. There were a couple. There was one guy that's walking around with what looked like a cardboard fence stuck to his back. And you're looking at him, you're like, what the hell? And he's walking around, you know, and people looking at him. And then when he goes by, they're like, oh, you had to catch it at just the right light. You had to catch it at just the right shadow. But what it was is he was dressed as the Mystery Science 3000 silhouette.
Oh my God!
Walks past you, outline servo, and he was in the movie seats behind it. I'm like, oh,
yes.
I mean, and his was like, it literally, it was, you know, spray painted cardboard. He was like one of the cheaper costumes. Rocked it with that. Everybody was cheering. What else is that obscure? Wow. Because, you know, each costume goes in such a totally different direction.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to put them together. There was your variety of, excuse me, of Trek victims, you know, red suit victims, you know, people with a scrambled egg monster on them, people with a piece of Horde of Rock on them, people with, wow, a, you know, staff coming out of them. You just see, so you get a variety of red suit Trek people, and so that was kind of fun. Let me see if I can think of anyone else, because it's all just kind of blurring together. So many things were there. I know I'm going to be like, oh, why did I tell him about this? Oh, why did I tell him about that? But let me see, when I was sitting down there, I didn't see Multidep this year. I was disappointed because I wanted to get a shot of him because I saw him last year, but no Multidep. And Iron,
because that was good. That was, yeah, funny. Yeah.
And the guy in the iron suit as Iron Man did not show up this year.
Aw, that sucked.
okay, here is one, and I think I'm getting this right. From Green Lantern, there is sort of like this barrel-shaped minion guy that come from that universe, all right? So, like I said, he's got a giant barrel head. I'm saying, all the Green Lantern guys, you're an idiot. It's so obvious that's who this guy was. But I'm sorry, guys. I'm slacking on my. He's shaped like a barrel, right? He's got a giant barrel head, and you know, and he's walking around. Well, the thing is, this guy was like to scale at Dragon Con. He was literally bigger than what would fit through a door. He was bigger than, and so he's this giant barrel with the feet and the hands, and he's just bobbing along through the whole event. You know, he was just enormous, and that somebody had, you know, had somehow made the costume, and he's bobbing along, and he's trying to dance with folks and sneaking up on people. It was great, you know, it was great that was
ridiculous.
That was so cool to see that kind of stuff. I got to get back. All right, well, let me tell you one other thing. First of all, I did eventually go to one of the talks with Michael Rosenbaum in there. He was one of the speakers in one of the rooms. And if you ever get a chance to see this dude, he is hilarious. He is absolutely hilarious. Just by himself, he pretty much made the day for me. And he's just so random, too. Get this now. So he's up there talking, and something had happened where there was a delay. There was a leak in the hotel, and there was a puddle outside. And so he had to entertain us for an additional 10 minutes while they were cleaning up things right by the door. Apparently, the talk had gone on a little too long for some people in the audience because a woman in the front row had nodded off.
Oh. You know?
And, of course, Mike notices this. And so he's like, hang on. And so he gets off. He steps down from the stage.
and he tiptoes up to the lady, and he starts to lean in. He's like 4 feet, 3 feet right in front of her, right? And she opens her eyes, and she goes, oh, jeez! And he's like, hi! All right, everything all right? And she just freaked out. Oh, it was so funny.
Evil. That is evil.
The crazy thing to redeem your Canadians. Supergirl. Supergirl was there briefly. You know what's her name? Laura Vanderhoot. She was very kind, very patient. And you know those people who are so nice. And you put them on stage with somebody as crazy and radical as Rosenbaum, and she just sort of like oh you know the whole time she's like, I don't know what he's gonna do. I'm just gonna stay over here. She was so nice, so kind. And the craziest thing is she had to leave early to catch her flight. And I told you things ran long with Rosenbaum. Toward the end of the talk, she texts Rosenbaum to say, tell the audience that I missed them and sorry I had to leave.
Wow.
He goes, he's like, that was crazy, Canadian. So, hey, you know, if you got Canadians are... You're texting the crowd that was there. Yeah. She's beautiful and kind, so it was good to see her too. But oh man, it was just so much stuff was going on. It was a great time. It was great. You ask me something else. Any other questions? Oh man, Bender. There was a Bender there that was awesome.
Oh.
Bender was there. It was just people, just everything that you could imagine. Somebody showed up at Dragon Con like that. I couldn't believe it.
So what I'm gonna have, you're gonna have to get better pictures next.
I know. I'll get it. Okay. Here's what other you're asking the most obscure. Here is the most obscure costume that I recognized. Okay, and this has got to go way back. I mean, like one out of 80 of you are gonna get this one. I'm walking through the Sky Bridge, and I see this guy, and he looks like he's wearing nothing but like a hooded cloak. And he's kind of, you know, stumbling along. And I look under the hood, and where the face is, there was a mirrored dome with some little, you know, holes cut out where I guess where the mouth would be. And I'm looking, I'm like, why is that so familiar? And I'm looking at it. He was dressed as one of the converted people from the Black Hole. From the old Disney movie, The Black Hole?
Sorry, I want to be impressed.
You guys are like, you're crazy. That one out of eight is going, oh my god! The Black Hole!
He's saying, oh my god, please let us know, because I don't know.
What I'm saying is, someone dressed up as this. All right, they had the mirrored faceplate was perfect. The material on the cloak was just right. I mean, and I looked at, I said, I do not believe that someone went that far to pull out a reference like that. And clearly, what I said, the Black Hole. It was like I was the only one that got it. I said in costume, but in character, but he just kind of nodded and kept going. I was like, yes, I got you, buddy. I'm here with you. Where are you going to get a mirrored faceplate like that? Where are you going to get a mirrored dome? Where are you going to get the outfit? That's what I'm talking about. So you see, yeah, I don't care what you dress as Dragon Con, somebody is going to come up to you and be like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Someone dressed as a Dib. From Zim, Invader Zim.
Oh.
It was just like unbelievable. What?
She said, are you serious?
Yeah, you know, with the little dragon lightning bolt hair and everything. It was awesome. Awesome. Whoa, it's just everything you can imagine. It was awesome.
Man, that's amazing. So, ooh, you going next year?
I told you, I bought my tickets already. Come on, Kat.
I'm talking to Stephanie. You going?
If I say I am, then people may be like, well, she liked Apollo 18, though, so I don't know.
You know, some other people might like that. I may be in the minority here, and I may be the crazy person. I don't know.
I know. I think you're probably right. I went online and saw all these terrible reviews. I really just have, I don't know, no class.
Anyway, come on.
I actually really and truly want to go to Dragon Con now, and Yeah, that was convincing. I think I'm going to go with something obscure.
It's good times. It's good. You know, the events, the people that you're supposed to be going there to see, that's almost secondary to just looking at what the people are dressed like, seeing what they're... Oh, and by the way, just so you know, the Walk of Fame, you know, where you go to meet the stars and get them to sign stuff. I got to meet Christopher Lloyd.
Woo!
And Brent Spiner.
Jake Watts.
Brent Spiner, yeah.
Oh, and, sweet.
Oh my god, I had such a crush on him when I was growing up.
Oh man,
yeah, weird.
I just have a thing for people who don't use contractions, man. Woo, so nice.
That was cool.
I don't know. I think I would go simply to find other people to play Warhammer with me. Like,
oh
seriously.
Man, you have like full LARPing Warhammer going on there. They would not stand.
Oh gosh, that is dress ass.
You know, there's so much to choose from. Yeah. I don't know, and I'm not gonna go there because people are gonna laugh. So,
now, you could go incognito, like throw on a mask, tell nobody you're there, take a bunch of pictures. This is me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if I went, I think I would do like something barbarian style. That's what I normally do. Like, yeah, I'm not going to go into
like it. Conan. You know, me.
Like, you know, barbarian ice princess or something. Like, okay. That would be my cup of tea.
That would work. It would blend right in. I saw a Tila. I saw a He-Man. I saw an old school Conan. It would totally.
I always wondered why Tila didn't have her own show. What the hell, man?
Because she was the smartest one there. So Tila was the smartest one on the show. I mean, she was smarter than She-Ra. Tila knew what was going on.
Orko should have his own show.
There was an Orko. There was an Orko. Yes.
Nice. Well done.
Yeah.
That was a great description.
That was. We don't really have anything else unless Carl wants to address the amount of Captain America feedback we received on our previous recording. I know, I just like, wow, you guys are passionate, and I love your passion. I really do.
But- yeah. Kind of hard on us about Captain America. Listen, I did preface the whole thing by saying I like the movie. Okay, the movie was good. That's it. It was good. I would recommend seeing it. I say it's worth seeing, and that's about as far as I could go with it. And I sort of said why I had issues with parts of it. But come on, folks, it was I
inflamed about that. We got an angry voicemail.
People hating on.
We got angry tweets because we said it was good and that was all. So I think we're gonna be a little bit more passionate from now on. Thank you guys for putting us in check.
Try to contain it. I tell you, I'll try to hold it in a little bit more.
All right, guys, that's our show. We love your feedback. Give us a nice call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. Send us a message on facebook.com/scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the party next time. Bye.
End of line.